Why don't we start with maybe Becky, okay? Because she's the one who got in touch with me about this. And why don't you let us know what is your reason for thinking that it would be a bad thing to have natural gas in the Rockland metropolitan area?
Well, it sounds like a wonderful thing. It sounds benign. It sounds like, organic kale, but actually, natural gas is a highly polluting substance. It's a fossil fuel. It is not clean and it's not green. So when it burns, it emits carbon monoxide. It also produces nitrous dioxide, and methane is one of the most significant gases that's released by it. And methane is 34 times more greenhouse gas producing than carbon. So it's definitely not moving towards a climate friendly solution to our heating and cooking abilities. We don't have time to waste. We have about 10 years to really get this right on climate change. And if we invest in a natural gas infrastructure on the coast of Maine, it's going to really put a thumb on the scale of for fossil fuels rather than opening up to do efficiency work and renewable energy. So I don't want to talk too much longer because I think other people have more things to say. But I'm happy to, jump in. There's some other really important things that I'd like to mention later.
Maybe why don't we start by having each person explain what their view is, and then I'll give you a hard time after that. Jonathan, you want to go next?
Sure. I usually agree with Becky 100%, but I think I'd like to clarify that actually the methane is 80 times more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide over 20 years, and about 50 times more potent over 100 years. So the leakage of methane from the fracking fields and from the gas lines and the compressor stations make it actually a dirtier fuel for the climate than even coal by most analyses. So if a person is concerned about climate change, the worst infrastructure we could invest in right now would be a natural gas pipeline, because we're tying ourselves into a fossil fuel which is incompatible with a path towards decarbonization and a stable planet, climate for the planet. So that is my primary. There's other reasons why I think it's not a good fuel, but that is essentially my opposition.
Okay. Ron, do you have anything to add to that?
Sure. Ron Huber, friends of Penobscot Bay, and I've used other nom-de-plumes over time, Penobscot Bay Watch and Coastal Waters Project. You'll see those are different legal papers, administrative appeals, and so on. But at all the time, it's been the very same thing, that the bay as a totality has to be looked at, not simply the corner of it that we fight for most tenaciously because it's our neighborhoods. And because it's impossible for him to do that, someone has to be outside of all of them and stay in touch. That's it.
So I'm surprised. I gotta let Rodney go here, but I just the sprawl argument I don't get, because the pipeline is going to favor development along a narrow corridor. It's not gonna they're not gonna be putting oil. You truck it out into the hinterlands, okay? But anyway, we'll get back to that.
Got it.
Rodney, what's your take?
Well, I come from a different perspective, and my perspective is that it's not really practical. And the reason I say this is because in order to have a gas line, you have to have a number to make it pay for itself, be practical. You have to have population. You have to have high density in terms of buildings. You have to have quite a commercial area. And also, most important thing, you have to have large customers. I first became familiar with Summit Gas in 2014, when myself and Audra Lovering, who used to be the community, who's also a community development director in Rockland too, and we were contracted by the downtown center to do a economic restructuring plan for downtown Augusta. So at that particular time, it was right in the middle of a Summit putting in the gas lines and also negotiating with the towns. What they did, they connected on to the Richmond compressor station, and what they proposed in terms of first Kennebec Valley Gas and then Summit to go ahead and install our gas lines going from Richmond to Gardner to Augusta to Waterville, Farmington, Skowhegan, Mass, et cetera. Well, those particular areas have things that we don't have down here. For first and foremost, you get a population that's double of than the region of Mid-Coast Maine. You also have buildings which are very close to each other also, and you have the density. And also you have a lot of large customers up there. For example, like you have the Sappy Paper Company, you have all the state government buildings, you have large industrial parks up there. You have towns and cities which are very close together. And also you have Kobe College, you have a Thomas College, and you have business parks up there. Whereas in the coast of Maine, if you go ahead and look at it, in Belfast itself, the big developers of business in Belfast are the shipyard and the hospital. Then you go all the way from Belfast down to Camden, there's really nothing. Then you go through Camden to the town line, it's kind of built up. The big development between Camden town line to Rockland is Penn Bay. Then Rockland's built up and goes to Lowe's. And then you have a stretch by this cement pack, which is no one. And then you have a residential commercial area in Thomaston. So also, I'm not looking at it in being practical. Go ahead.
If it's not practical, why do they want to do it? I mean, why would they be doing it if they don't have customers here?
Well, that's a good question. As you said, they're now in the process of soliciting customers. Another question is too, as we ran into in terms when I was working up in central Maine, was in terms of financing. How are they going to go ahead and finance it? What they did with the towns up there, they negotiated with probably up to 15 towns, was tax incremental financing. And under this right here, because you put those pipes in the line, you're going to increase your property valuation because you can tax them. Because tax them, and they're worth a lot of money. So what they did up there, they did it 15 TIFs, 15-year TIFs. And the first 10 years, the recaptured taxes went back to Summit to pay off the infrastructure, the initial cost of the infrastructure. 20% went back to towns. Last 5 years, 40% went to towns, 6% to Summit to pay off the debt service. Because the biggest thing is, you've got to get those lines in place. You've got to get the upfront financing. You've got to pay property taxes when they start doing, before you have to start any paying any people customers. So the way I look at it, how practical is it? And I think that's where we need to know more about it.
Jonathan has something to say here, Rodney.
Yeah, I agree with that a lot, Rodney. And also, I want to mention that when we're locking into more fossil fuels, that is not something we're growing in Maine. That is great. Now we have about a $6 billion a year, which Maine imports in fossil fuel. That's a drain on our economy. If you're actually producing the energy in state from solar, from wind, from our own sources, from hydroelectric that's produced in Maine, we're creating the jobs, we're creating the infrastructure, and we're retaining actually control of our energy future. And that money circulates in the state instead of, like, basically you build a pipeline and after that, the rest of the money leaves the state.